When you are in a military battle, victory is only achieved a few ways. To receive victory in a military battle, that means your enemy's either got to be killed, your enemy's got to be captured, your enemy's got to give up, or your enemy's got to retreat. But in spiritual battles, our enemies are invisible. And the heart, the soul, and the mind are the battlefields for the war that we are in. But wait a minute. Doesn't the whole armor of God provide us the protection, the full protection that we need against our spiritual enemies? Well, in a word, no, it doesn't provide the full protection. The armor of God does protect the believer from the satanic attacks and the satanic temptations. But how many of you know that we have more than one enemy? Satan is not the only enemy the Christian has. Our enemies include, yes, Satan, but the enemy also includes the world. Furthermore, the enemy also is the flesh that we live in. The devil attacks us through individual temptations. The world attacks us through external influences. But that old flesh, that flesh attacks through internal desires. Yes, to gain victory over the devil, we must put on the whole armor of God. We got to get in the battle and we must resist him. Yes, to gain victory over the world, we must place our faith in the only victor, Jesus Christ. Place our trust in him who has overcome the world. But boy, oh boy, to gain victory over this flesh, y'all, we must perceive what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit of God. In other words, to have victory over the devil, you got to fight. To have victory over the world, you must forsake its influence. But to have victory over the flesh, can I tell you? You just got to tuck tail and run. You got to flee. You got to flee those temptations of the flesh. And the Bible tells us about this battle that every one of us is in with the flesh. And it does so by declaring first and foremost that we are in an inner war. We are in an inner war. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, Paul is writing to believers not unlike ourselves. He's addressing believers that are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But listen to what he says to these Galatian believers, beginning in verse 16. Paul says to them, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident." Here it goes. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Now, by putting "and the like" there, Paul is telling us that this list is not comprehensive. This is not all the works of the flesh, but he sure did want to point out those ones that he mentioned. To understand, let me just go ahead and continue finishing out that passage. "And of the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Friends, we are in an inner war. To understand this inner war that we are in, we must understand what the Bible means when it talks about the flesh. What do the Scriptures tell us about the flesh? Well, the Scriptures use the word flesh in two ways. One is the most obvious. The word flesh is used, as you would expect it would be, as to describe the human body. This is the flesh that we live in. But there's a second way that Scripture uses this word. And that word is to describe a person, listen to me, to describe a person apart from God. To describe a person living apart from God. And every time you see the word flesh used in that context, it's always negative. It's always a bad thing. You see a man or woman who is apart from the divine influence of God ain't nothing more than an animal. Amen? So we need to understand that even more than that, a person apart from God is prone to sin and even opposed to God. So we have to understand this word flesh. So when the old nature of the flesh collides with the new nature of the Spirit, there is a serious, serious conflict. When we receive the Spirit of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, a transformation begins in our lives. That transformation continues, and over time, the flesh is slowly but surely put to death. But it's never fully put to death until we get to glory. Paul wrote to another church saying, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, I want to share with you some characteristics of the flesh. This man or this woman living apart from the divine influence of God. Because we need to know why. Why is the Bible so adamant about putting this flesh to death? Well, first of all, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak in and of itself. Our old sin nature, this flesh, doesn't have any redeeming value that would deserve God's favor. When God gave the Old Testament law to help us govern the flesh, not one man or woman could keep the law. You might say, well, why did God give it if he knew we couldn't keep it? Well, here's why. God wanted to show us how much we need his grace. God wanted to show his people. He wanted to point out just how far we have fallen from his glory. He was telling us the flesh is weak. The flesh is incapable of keeping godly standards of holiness. God was showing us that we desperately need a Savior. So the flesh is weak, but the flesh is also worthless. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul said to that church of believers, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, listen to this, nothing good dwells. Nothing good. Paul said that apart from God, there is nothing good in the flesh. And man, that sure does fly in the face of society today, doesn't it? Our culture, our society says, oh, but you have so much value in just who you are. Society says, oh, but you can improve the flesh. Our culture says, oh, but you can make the flesh better. But you know what Jesus said in John 6:63? Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. In other words, the flesh ain't good for nothing. And that's the words of Jesus. He said it's worthless because it's a man or woman apart from the divine influence of God. So the flesh is weak. The flesh is worthless. But the flesh is also without peace. In Romans 8:7, Paul said to that church that the fleshly mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. Now, that's not a word we use very often, but what it means is that in the flesh, we are enemies of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you are an enemy of God this morning. In the flesh, we would be at war with God. And how many of you know that God never loses a war? Amen? In the flesh, you have no peace in your life. In the flesh, you'll have no hope for your life. And in the flesh, you'll have no future for your life. But the one who learns to put that old sin nature to death and then receives the new nature of the Holy Spirit of God has eternal peace, has eternal hope, and praise God, eternal life, amen, in Jesus Christ. So the flesh, she's weak. The flesh is worthless. The flesh is without peace. This flesh, apart from the divine influence of God, is without righteousness. Can I tell you that there is no amount of willpower, no amount of resolve, no amount of determination that is going to enable the flesh to produce righteousness? Can't do it apart from the divine influence of God. Now, some people think, well, hey, man, once I get saved in Jesus Christ, well, then maybe I can add to my salvation. Maybe I can be better by myself as long as I'm determined and resolved. Maybe through good works, I can add something to my salvation. But listen, y'all, works couldn't make you perfect when you're lost, and works ain't gonna make you perfect when you're saved, right? Because you and yourself can't do it. You're gonna need something, someone living in you to produce the godly fruits of righteousness. Righteous works in the life of a Christian, listen carefully. Righteous works in the life of the Christian are solely the fruit of the Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You need Him. You need Him living in you and through you. So in other words, it ain't you. It's all Him, amen, living through your life. Why? Because the flesh in itself is without righteousness. But finally, the flesh is also wounded morally. Wounded mortally, excuse me. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 6, Paul put it this way. He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Now that kind of sounds, has a tone of finality to it, doesn't it? It sounds like once and for all. But what that done away with really means is rendered inoperative. Right? The body of sin is rendered inoperative that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, friend, this flesh, this old nature, that old sin nature, one day will ultimately die. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. And when you come to Christ, you have that hope that one day the flesh is going to die. His death makes it possible for you and I to have peace with God. Jesus' death makes it possible for you and I to have a right standing before God. But without Him, you don't have anything. But know this, friend. The flesh, that old nature, just because you came to Jesus doesn't mean that it was destroyed. How many of you know that? You're still living in that sin nature. It wasn't destroyed, but it was mortally wounded. In other words, it ain't dead yet, but one day, the flesh, the old sin nature, is going to die. So sadly, even though we're saved, Even though we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, sadly, the flesh is still alive. Sadly, the flesh is still working within us. And I don't have to tell you, even as Christians, as believers here at Bethel Baptist Church, the flesh still produces sin in our lives, doesn't it? Somebody say amen. That's two of you. Praise God. Amen. So, we got some righteous people in here. Hallelujah. So, here's the deal. These sins that I'm talking about, these sins that were listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul called them the works of the flesh. They're basically just sins of the flesh, but they're the works of the flesh. And Paul divided them into four groups of examples. He divided them into sexual sins. Second group was spiritual sins. The third group was self-centered sins. And the fourth group was societal sins. Now listen, as I share this list again, I want you to see which one you're struggling with. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. If you don't know what that means, that's sexual immorality. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Idolatry. So I ain't got no idols in my house. How many people know that whatever you put in front of God is an idol? And in some form or fashion, at some particular time, we're all guilty of that, of putting other things before God. That's a work of the flesh. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hatred. Contentions. That's backbiting and fighting. Jealousies. Ever wanted what somebody else had? I have. I wanted the gift of preaching that Billy Graham had. Amen? Work of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath. When was the last time you got really ticked off? You know when it happened to me? The last time I drove into Florence, driving through all that construction. I'm not going to get into the specifics of what went down, but it wasn't pretty. It was an outburst of wrath. Amen. Somebody was driving in that left lane. Hallelujah. Work of the flesh. Just saying. Maybe you say, you know what, man? Bill, I'm sorry. I'm just doing good so far. Cool-headed. Not committing adultery. No sexual immorality here. But if you think you've been clear so far, check this one out. Selfish ambitions. Levi shared Philippians chapter 2. He said, don't be just looking out for your own interests, but the interests of others. Amen. Because when you don't look out for the interests of others, what is it? It's a work of the flesh. Selfish ambition. Let me keep going. Dissensions, heresies, envy. That's an easy one even for Christians. Envy. Murders. Praise God, I ain't murdered nobody lately. Drunkenness. Been a while. I ain't going to say that ever happened, but it's been a while. Revelries and of the like. Not a comprehensive list. Boy, even that ugly list had areas that touched my heart and reminded me that even as your pastor, I still struggle with the works of the flesh. Amen. Why? Because although the flesh is dying, she ain't dead yet. And I have to deal with it every single day. So which one of those did you struggle with? Don't tell me. Just give me a head. Give me a head nod if one of you struggled with one of those. Amen. A few head nods. See, when you became a Christian, friend, you didn't lose that old sin nature. You didn't lose that old sin nature. You still got it. You may have the Holy Spirit living in you. You may have given your life to Christ, but you still got the sin nature living in you. You still got it. When Christ came to your life, he did give you, however, a new spiritual nature. And now, your sinful nature is in combat with that spiritual nature, and they are constantly, constantly in conflict. Every single day, you got to wake up and be ready to go to war against the flesh. Paul put it this way there in verse 7, or verse 17. And I'm going to replace the word lust with another word. For the flesh wars against the spirit. Your own sinful nature, the flesh wars against the Spirit of God who now lives in you. And the spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what the things that you wish. My, my, my. You see, Christians have a lot harder time with inner struggles than non-Christians do. And the reason is because we have the Spirit of God where a non-believer does not. So there's no conflict in the non-believer. They don't have the Spirit of God. All they're coping with is the flesh. There is no war. There is no conflict. But this war is a subject that Paul made reference to when he wrote to the book of Romans. He tells them that he knows he's been changed. He says, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus died for me. And I know that it's my heart's desire to follow Christ, to follow God. But still, he finds himself struggling against the flesh. Now, y'all, I got a few heroes, aside from Jesus himself, man, the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian missionary ever, and the greatest Christian missionary ever is struggling with the flesh. Does it tell me that I am all that? But it sure tells me that I'm in good company. In Romans 7:22, Paul says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, it's my normal Christian desire that I delight in the law of God, that I delight in the word of God to be my governor and my guide and my helper and my direction. But friend, can I tell you, there should be a desire for you to love God. With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you should love God. There should be sadness over your sin when you struggle with that. Friends, there should be a desire to please God in every way. It comes hand in hand with being a Christian. But even the Apostle Paul, that great missionary, had this heartfelt desire to please God, but he realized it wasn't happening automatically. He realized that just because Jesus came to him on that Damascus road and gloriously saved him, that he didn't have to no longer deal with the flesh. He realized there's another force that Paul was dealing with that was hindering him from pleasing God, the flesh. That holy war inside him led him to say in verse 22, the good that I will to do, I do not do, and the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. The Apostle Paul was struggling with the same things that I struggle with. Friends, every day, you will face a similar holy war. You will face a similar inner war inside you, but there is hope for victory because God has given us a plan. He's given us a much better plan. So how do we go about winning the war within? How do we go about winning this inner war? Well, go back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Paul outlines it. It's pretty simple, really. I didn't say easy. I just said simple. Verse 24, He says, and those who are Christ's. I pray that's every one of us here today. I hope you can say without a shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus, and there's no doubt about it. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also then walk in the Spirit. Those two verses give us two simple keys to victory over the flesh. One of them is negative, the other one is positive. But verse 24 makes it sound like crucifying the flesh is just one and done. Man, you do it one time and you never got to worry about it again. But we know that's not true. It sounds like, man, if I'll just crucify the flesh that one time, I don't ever have to worry about anything else. But we know that's not true. But here's the truth about that phrase, crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. That phrase is not a positional truth. Instead, it's more of a description of an action that you and I must take every single day. You got to wake up crucifying the flesh. You got to wake up in the morning putting the flesh to death, making a choice to choose the Spirit over the flesh every single day. That's how you crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. You take the flesh and you do something with it. You put it to death. You put it aside. You choose the Spirit over the flesh. So what are we to do daily? Paul said it this way. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, when I wake up and my feet hit the floor, I die daily to sin. I die daily to the flesh, and I choose instead to walk in the Spirit. Jesus said it this way. He said, take up your cross daily. What happens on a cross? Somebody dies. Jesus said, every single day, you have to put the flesh to death. You have to crucify the flesh. Friends, as believers, it is a fact that the old nature of this flesh will one day pass. She'll one day be dead. But the idea here is that when we flesh out this idea of crucifying the flesh, now we're fleshing it out and acknowledging the truth and applying it to our daily lives. If you don't wake up and say, I'm crucifying the flesh anew today, then the flesh will have its way in your life. And I know that from personal experience. You see, you can believe in your head that Christ has crucified your flesh, but if you don't apply that truth to your life, it will never be effective. It will never be effective. It's not just head knowledge. Listen to me. It's your spirit cooperating with what happened on the cross. You got to know it, but boy, you got to know it too. Amen. I remember hearing a story of two men who are watching this turtle. And the reason they were watching this turtle is because the turtle was still moving even though its head had been cut off. And so one guy picks up the turtle moving and he looks at him and he says, he's dead. He just don't believe it. Now, that's the problem with most Christians. The old flesh is dead, ultimately, but we don't believe it. Our flesh was sacrificed on the cross, but what do we try to do? We try to go up to the cross and try to retract the nails, pull down the flesh so that we can sin again. Using that old flesh. Friends, I want to tell you something about Roman crucifixion. Three things. Three things happened on a Roman cross. First of all, it was absolutely brutal. If you've ever seen any movies about the crucifixion of Christ, you know, man, it's brutal. For us, we should be willing to brutally crucify the flesh. Ruthlessly crucify the flesh. Why? Because it was brutal. Secondly, the Roman cross was also very painful. In the Passion of the Christ, you can almost feel the pain that Jesus endured. Well, for us, you have to know that it will never feel good to you when you choose to crucify the flesh. The flesh wants what the flesh wants, and it's going to continue to try to have its way in your life, even though you're trying to crucify it with its passions and desires. The cross is brutal. The cross, painful. But you know what else about the Roman cross? It was permanent. Once a man was nailed to the cross, he stayed there until he was dead. So let us not retract those nails and try to pull down that flesh so that we can sin again. Crucify the flesh. That's the first simple key. But then there's that second one. There in verse 16, Paul said, "Then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Verse 18 says, "If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." And verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You see, as Christians, we already live in the realm of the Spirit. And it's so important that we understand that the Holy Spirit of God wants to have an active role in your life. Even more than that, He wants to take charge of your life so that there's no room for the flesh to operate. And when we're led by the Spirit, we are then allowing Him to guide us and direct us in the way we should live. When we yield to the Spirit, then you won't be grieving Him by disobeying the Word of God. You won't be quenching the way the Spirit wants to work through you. But you have to yield to Him. Friend, are you starting to see? Maybe just a glimpse of how you can gain victory over the flesh. Look hard. Look hard in the mirror. Look hard at those sinful old nature influences and that try to corrupt you, that try to keep you from having the joy that God saved you to have. Look at those hard influences and then, listen to me, y'all, deal with them ruthlessly. Crucify them afresh. Crucify them every day. If you got to crucify them every hour, do so. Deal with them ruthlessly. Count them as D-E-A-D once and for all. Then, it won't be long, if you're a child of God, that you're going to start seeing the fruits of the Spirit replacing the works of the flesh. And can I tell you, that is key. If you've ever looking for a key to overcome a bad habit, if you're ever looking for a key to overcoming an addiction, if you've ever looked for a key to overcome some sin in your life, I want to give you a word this morning. Replacement. Replace that sin, replace that addiction, replace that bad habit with something good. Repeatedly replacing it with something good. You see, life change for the Christian is not just a matter of pulling up weeds. Hey, y'all, I got a lot of weeds in my life. But it's not just about pulling up weeds. No, I also have to allow God to plant new seeds in my life. Not one or the other. Not either or, both and. Yes, I have to pull up those old weeds in my life, but I must allow God to plant new seeds in my life as well. Every single day, let us pray Romans 13, 14 that says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." No provision. Don't put yourself in a situation where the flesh might have its way. Submit to God. Ask God to help you to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Ask him, and he'll give it to you. Friends, if you spend all your time crucifying the flesh, pulling up weeds, and you don't spend any time yielding to the Spirit that is planting new seeds in your life, listen to me, you will lose the war. It must be both. But if in the process of crucifying your flesh daily, you also learn to yield to the Spirit within you, then you're going to find victory in that inner war. You're going to find victory for sure, that holy war that's going on in your life. But listen, it must be both. Crucifying the flesh daily and yielding to the Spirit of God in every way that you can. Crucifying and yielding. Can I tell you, there's been a holy war going on in your life since the day you were born. The day you were born, Satan wanted control of you. He wanted control of your life. He was looking forward and wanted control of your wife. He was looking forward and wanted control of your family. He wanted control of everything about you. The last thing he wanted you to do is to make a difference for the glory of God and the kingdom of heaven. And so he instituted this war against you. And now it's up to you to fight back, to fight the flesh, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to have the victory in your life. Amen. I pray that today you realize the war you're in. And I pray that you have seen simply, not easily, but simply, how you can have victory. By learning to crucify the flesh every single day and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God likewise every day. If you've been trying to fight the war in your own resolve, in your own will, your own strength, and you've been wondering, why in the world have I been failing? Maybe it's because you're trying to do one, but you're not doing the other. You're trying to put the flesh to death, but you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Could that be the problem? I'm only going to give you my personal experience. That's exactly the problem. Many of you don't know this, but I smoked for 15 years. Crazy, right? And when it came time for me to quit, I said, I can't do it. This addiction has got me right where it wants me. How am I going to quit? So when the Lord told me that I was living by the flesh, I was participating in something that was doing my body harm, he taught me how I can replace something bad with something good. And so what I did is I started carrying around a pen all the time. I always had something in my hand, right? And I used to always smoke when I was on the phone. So then I started wearing a headset so that I wasn't doing phone with this hand and a cigarette with that hand. So I got a headset if I ever had to get on the phone. And then when that craving hit, she hit, man, I'd get up, I'd put on my tennis shoes, and I'd start walking. I'd walk until I didn't have the craving no more. Replacing something good, replace something bad with something good. I want to encourage you today to replace whatever burden you've been carrying, replacing whatever sin you've been committing, replace it with faith in Jesus Christ. Not only will you overcome the flesh, but you can be assured of a future that is so bright you got to wear shades. Somebody say amen. Heaven's going to be a great place. Do you know you're going there? It only happens when you place your faith in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. If you're willing to do that today, you can have that assurance just like I do. Bad habit and all. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, it's a blessing how you use your word to speak to us individually and as a church family. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus today that if there's one that needs to come to faith in Christ Jesus and say, I'm tired of this bad habit of sin. I'm tired of carrying this burden all by myself. Lord, I'm tired. I'm weary. It's too heavy. I'm ready to give it up. Father, I pray that you would encourage them to come. Father, I share with them exactly what the Bible says about how they can be eternally saved and have an eternal place in heaven that you have offered us through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, for the believers, every one of these believers that's struggling with the flesh in some capacity or another, Lord, I pray that you would give us the victory and give us the mindset to daily crucify the flesh and daily yield to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, to live in the Spirit of God, and thereby not only enjoy an incredible life, but also exalt you and bless you in the process. Lord, have your will and your way to anybody that needs to make a decision today, and we'll give you praise in advance in Jesus' name and all God's people.